Good morning to all of you. It's good to be with you. As the pastor indicated, we were part of the congregation back in the 90s and then a few other places after that. In fact, my whole career resume is marked by a few years here and a few years there and everywhere else. And I often say it's like the scripture says, persecuted at one point, flee to another. But it is good to be with you, and wow, you all look so much better looking after that extra hour of beauty sleep. So we should do that more often, I think. It's kind of cool. Yeah. Well, it's my privilege to bring the Word of God to you today, and if you'll have your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 23, I would like us to focus on this morning, Psalm 23. It's situated right in the middle of two other shepherd psalms, Psalm 22, which is a shepherd psalm about the cross, and Psalm 24, which is a shepherd psalm about the crown. And Psalm 23 is the shepherd's care. In honor of God's word, would you please stand with me for the reading of his word. The word of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord, and we stand upon it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this, your holy word that you have granted to us. We hunger for it. We see it as light. We see it as a stream of refreshment in the times of trouble and discouragement. Thank you for this psalm, which has been used by you so many times and in so many settings in the past. And now, Father, we ask that you would again make it live through your Spirit to us. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. You may be seated. Imagine being invited into a darkened room and then being asked to describe it. Well, you'd say that's pretty impossible, and you would, of course, be absolutely correct. But then imagine, once you're in this darkened room, that somebody comes in and lights a candle. And then somebody comes in and lights a second candle. And then a third candle. Maybe a fourth. And before long, that once very dark room would begin to take on light and understanding, and you would begin to see the layout of that room and the furniture pieces in that room. For the ancient people of Israel, learning and knowing about God was very much like that. For early on, their understanding about God was very dim, very dim. But God chose to light candles through the giving of names of himself, which would describe him, and people then, the ancient people of Israel, would begin to understand what he is like. For instance, Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. The people of Israel had to be excited when they learned that God will provide, even in the most difficult time, the darkest time, even when it seems he won't, In the nick of time, our God, as we worship him, we know he will provide. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Knowing that this God is not just interested in what goes on inside of my heart, but he cares about my very life, my body. So that he is the God that heals thee. Jehovah Shalom, a God of peace. Even in all the storms of life, a God who offers to us peace. Peace to keep us calm and tranquil. So excited about learning about this God. Jehovah Shema, the God who hears. Wow. You mean I don't have to go to a certain place or do a certain thing? No, the God who hears, Jehovah Shema, listens to us. And when we come to this psalm, we find yet another descriptive light about God, Jehovah Roi. Now, when we look at a number of portions of Scripture, we discover often that God is described as a shepherd. In Isaiah and Ezekiel, and in other Psalms, and even in the Law, we see the image of God being a shepherd to his people. And so we might ask David, who composed this psalm, we might ask him, so David, we love this psalm, we appreciate it, but what's new? I mean, we've read about and heard about God as shepherd lots of times, but what's new, David? And David might run to us and say, oh, he indeed is a shepherd, but don't you get what I'm saying here? The Lord is my shepherd. He's my personal shepherd. I'm not talking and writing a poem about the Lord being a great shepherd, the great shepherd. I want to tell you, he is my personal shepherd. I mean, wherever I go and whatever I do, I am not alone. He is my personal shepherd. Let me tell you about him. Let me give my testimony about this wonderful shepherd. And so we move into the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, he says. My shepherd, that's the important word. Not the Lord's a shepherd, the Lord is my personal shepherd. So much to the degree that I don't want. I really don't want. He is my shepherd in my life. He continues. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Now, being a shepherd in southern Judea, where David was, required the shepherd to take the sheep over dizzying mountains and very rough valleys, and it was a long trek all day long. But the shepherd knew his sheep. And he knew exactly what they needed, when they needed rest, and the kind of rest they needed. The shepherd was an expert on grasses. Now, to me, grass is grass, but not to the shepherd in southern Judea. They knew there were various kinds of grasses, and he knew his sheep, and he would take them to different kind of grasses so they could eat that grass to meet their needs. David said, this is what he does for me. He knows me. So he's leading me at different places, different times, to the kinds of grasses I need. And he leads me beside still waters. Now again, in southern Judea, the terrain there was mountainous and rough. Often the stream beds were dry, but when it rained, it went furiously down the mountainside, usually in serpentine shape. And for the sheep, it was kind of scary. Now, up in the Carmel area, the Mount Carmel area, it was flat, and the shepherd just simply took the water out of the well and poured it in a trough, and it was very calm and very nice. But southern Judea, not so. And so the shepherd had to carefully make a pool of water for the sheep, because the sheep were scary animals, and they were scared to death. And maybe in their lifetime, they had seen a few sheep being swept down the valley. So the shepherd would take stones, large stones, any other debris, and put it in the stream to form a pool of water along the side to which the sheep could come and drink. Now, I want you to know, my friends, that God, through Jesus Christ, wants to be our shepherd, our personal shepherd. And when we invite the Lord Jesus Christ into our life and he becomes our shepherd, he leads us in the green paths, and he also leads us to the streams of still waters. Exactly for what we need. And he builds pools for us. I mean, he brings and builds for us the pool of God's word. We have God's word. How many times have I and you been struggling, uncertain, maybe scared, and we have gone to God's word quietly? And even though we've read a passage many times before, we read it and wow, it spoke to us. It was a pool of refreshment for us. We drank of it. It filled us. It encouraged us. Or the pool of prayer that God builds for those who have made him their personal shepherd. So that when we have been troubled because of word that we have gotten about something, whether it was dealing with our employment or our family or finances or whatever it was, and we took time to get on our knees before God in a quiet, private place, and we prayed, and we prayed, and suddenly the peace of God that passes all understanding, coming through that ministry of prayer, filled us and settled us. Because Jesus was our own personal shepherd. Now, if he's only a shepherd that you and I tip the hat to once a week or a few minutes a day, and we're living the rest of our life on our own, then in fact, you are on your own. I'm sorry. All I can say is good luck when you face these challenges and struggles in your life and you are hungry and thirsty and worn out. Good luck in figuring it out. But when we have made Jesus himself our good shepherd, he gives to us the pool of his word, the pool of prayer. He gives us the pool of praise. Learning to praise God even in the dark times, exalting him, and it's amazing how we're set free from the prison of pain through praise. Even through fellowship, as we meet with others, other believers, how many times we have been encouraged. I've been encouraged. I have the privilege of going to the Wednesday morning men's Bible study, and I appreciate so much the ministry of Pastor Chet as he unfolds the word, and I am blessed much. But I'm also blessed by those in the group because they have insights too. And that's a pool of refreshment that God grants as well. So the Good Shepherd gives to us refreshment. And he gives us pools of water from which to drink. When we have made him our personal shepherd, that is, that he has become an intimate part of our life. Again, not someone that's out there that we occasionally recognize or bring into our life, but someone who is our personal shepherd. And when he's our personal shepherd, what a blessing it is. Otherwise, we're on our own. David continues his testimony in verse 3. He restores my path. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads us in right paths. He gives us guidance. Not only refreshment, but he also gives us guidance. I don't know about you, but I sure appreciate the guiding ministry of God himself. There are a lot of crossroads I come to. I don't know which way to go. But because he's my personal shepherd, I know that he can guide me and direct me. Now, if I only have him out there somewhere as the shepherd, then I'm on my own. But because he walks with me and communes with me, I know he leads me in right paths. Because, you see, I have spiritual dyslexia. That means there are times in my life when I say, God, this place I am in is not good. This is terrible. I don't like all this pain. I don't like all this heartbreak. But God, my heavenly Father, my shepherd, is putting his arm around me and then he's saying, son, this is actually good. This is good for you because I am refining you and directing you in the path that I want you to go. And then there are times that I say, oh, Shepherd Father, that's where I'd like to go. Boy, that would give such wonderful help, and that's what would really be a blessing to me, and that would be good. But the Heavenly Father says, no, that would be bad for you. That's not what you need right now in your life. Now, we have that kind of assurance when we have made him our personal shepherd. If he's only the shepherd, a shepherd, you and I are on our own. We have to figure it out ourselves. Max Lucado used to tell a story about a rancher out west many years ago who had his eye on a stallion he really wanted to purchase. And so he began to negotiate and got a very good deal. Very good deal. It was a beautiful stallion. He brought it home. Neighbors came around and they could not believe what a good bargain he got. They said, wow, this is a blessing for you, my friend. This is wonderful. We congratulate you. The next morning, after all the friends had gone, of course, the next morning, the man looked out his window, and to his horror, the stallion had completely destroyed the corral, ran around, just destroyed, and then took off. He was alarmed. We had a few friends who wanted to come over and look at the stallion again. They came over. What in the world has happened? That stallion has ruined your corral, absolutely demolished it. Your stallion, that deal you made, that wasn't a blessing, that was a curse. The man was pretty discouraged. The next morning, while he was having breakfast, he heard all this racket. He looked out down the lane, and here came the stallion leading a large herd of wild mares. And they brought him in, and the neighbors who had heard all the commotion, they came running, and they saw what happened, and they said, wow, not only the stallion, but all these mares. What a blessing. What a blessing it was you got this. Well, that evening, his son said, I would very much like to ride the stallion. And the father said, you are not riding the stallion. He's not broken yet. Oh, but I can do it. So the next morning, the 19-year-old son got on the stallion. And as you might expect, the stallion threw him and horribly broke his thigh, his leg, very badly. And everybody said, getting that stallion was a curse. Not a blessing. But the very next day, war was declared, draft notices went out, And the young man was excused from the draft because of that break. And the neighbors said it was a blessing. Now, all of that is to say, you and I are not always very good at interpreting. Are we in blessing or are we in curse? But I can tell you this. When you and I have made Jesus our own personal shepherd, with David we say, the Lord is my personal shepherd. You can be sure that we are always in the right place where God wants us. And there is security in that. Again, that is that if he is our own personal shepherd. But if we've played fast and loose and he's way out there and we've ignored him, we're on our own. Good luck is all I can say to you. Well, David continues with his testimony. And he says, not only have I found rest and refreshment, not only have I found that he gives me guidance, but I find he also gives me courage. He really does. Because I have made him my personal shepherd, he's given me courage. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, as I mentioned, in southern Judea, it was a very mountainous area, and there were a lot of different valleys, and even some of the valleys had rather fearful names. Valley of Robbers, the Valley of Ravens, and the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And they were pretty frightful places to go to. And David said, though I go through the Valley of the Shadow of Death, I will fear no evil. You know, there's a, you probably heard it, an old a southern gospel song that says, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. We think how glorious heaven is, and it is. But then sometimes we think about the dying process, and we get a little nervous. And David says, because I have the Lord God as my personal shepherd, he's right with me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And we say, David, we want that kind of confidence. I do. So what is your secret? How are you getting to that? And he says, first of all, because the Lord is with me. Now, when the shepherd would go down through the valley with the sheep, I am told that the sheep almost sensed the fear of it, and they would press themselves tightly against the shepherd. And when they did, there was tranquility and calm in them. And friend, when you and I face the valley of the shadow of death, he says to us, I am with you. He promises to go with us. We are not alone. You and I all have an appointment with death, should the Lord tarry. We all have an appointment with death. We don't know when it will be. But we will stand at the head of that valley. And if you and I have made Jesus Christ our personal shepherd, we have someone, the very Son of God himself, to go with us through that valley. Now, if he's way out there, and only a shepherd, the shepherd that we touch base with occasionally, we're on our own. We've got to figure it out ourselves. All I can say is, good luck. But you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, and he is your personal shepherd. We can go face that valley of the shadow of death because he is with us. When our younger daughter was 15 months old, she contracted spinal meningitis and was in critical condition in Lancaster General Hospital for several days in ICU. The doctor said, we don't know what will happen. One of the elders from the church I was pastoring came. He said, I don't know what's going to happen. Nobody does. But he made it so clear to me by the Spirit of God, that God is with you. He's walking with you through this. He hasn't left you. He has his arms wrapped around you. His presence sustained us during that difficult time. P.S. She survived. But the sheep, as they went down through the valley, they were also comforted by the fact that they saw hanging from the waist of the shepherd an 18-inch implement that had sharp hooks on the end of it. It was called the rod. And it probably had some hair, animal hair, and blood on it. The sheep saw, had no doubt witnessed, the shepherd using it against robbers and animals of prey that had come to attack them. And that gave the sheep comfort and strength to keep on going through. They knew they had a great shepherd who would love them and protect them. And also his staff, which they had seen used, pull even some of them from thickets and treacherous places and rescued them. All the security they had as they faced the valley of the shadow of death. I'm sure they would have preferred not to have to go through and down that valley of the shadow of death. But oh, what comfort to know they had a personal shepherd to go with them. I wish none of us had to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Many of us have in a variety of situations, and many of us will. But when we have God, Jesus, his son, as our personal shepherd, to walk with us, to teach us, to feed us, to go right with us in his person, to protect us and guard us, then we can face it with strength and security because we have a personal shepherd. Now, if for you or me that this shepherd we've kind of strayed from, gotten away from, we only, you know, just think about him once in a while. We maybe come to church periodically or maybe even every week, but we really live our lives pretty free of him. When the valley of the shadow of death comes to us, we're pretty much on our own. We've got to figure it out ourselves. But all my friends, fall in love with Jesus, the good shepherd. Don't make him somebody way out there, but personally involved in our life. What a joy it is to have his security. Come what may, he's with us, he guides us, he directs us, he protects us. David says one more word of testimony I have for you about my shepherd. And that is that he gives me nourishment. Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. At the end of a very long day, the shepherd would take the sheep and guide them back to the sheepfold. Lead them to the entrance to the fold, that fenced-in area, and blocked the gate, and then he did what was known as preparing the table. And preparing the table meant that he would walk to and fro, back and forth, through that fenced-in area to make sure that during the day, no poisonous snakes, no noxious weeds had grown up in the day that would harm the sheep. He also made sure that the fence area, the rock area around, was secure because he may have even noted that there were some bears or wolves skulking along, trying to figure out how they could sneak in to get at these sheep once they got in, and he protected. He was preparing the table for them in the presence of their enemies. God does that for you and me. He goes ahead of our lives. He guides us. He has us on a journey. He wants to perfect us more and more to look like himself, Jesus. And so he guides and protects us in certain ways, gives us tools in certain ways. And then the shepherd would perform what was known as the rotting of the sheep. Now, the rotting of the sheep meant that the sheep would come in to the opening, and he would take the sheep one by one, and he would go over the sheep from head to toe, looking for bruises, thorns, injuries of various kinds, lovingly with each sheep. And then he would take oil, and he would anoint the sheep medicinally to take care of all of the hurts that there would be. And then he would take his shepherd's cup and dip it into a trough of water beside him, filled to the brim, and let the sheep drink till it's content, and then send it on its way. This is the shepherd's love for the sheep. This is how he takes care of those who have made God's Son Jesus his personal shepherd. So that when you and I get to the end of our day and lie down in bed at night and we reflect over the day and we realize we have some hurts, some injuries, some pains, some agonies, that when Jesus is our personal shepherd, he comes to us and he anoints us with his loving care and concern. Because he wants to strengthen us, heal us, and enable us for what's ahead. Oh, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Don't you see what he offers to me, what he is to me? And don't you know now why I can say the Lord is my personal shepherd? I shall not want. And you and I can have that same kind of experience in our life, that he is our personal shepherd. There is an old legend type story that comes out of London, England, about a group of writers, actors, and musicians who decided to get together in a very large home for an evening of mutual entertainment. They gathered in this home, about 100 of them, I understand, in this home. And they decided that they would entertain each other, and then somebody had the idea, let's put a money gift together, and at the end we'll decide who performed the best. So, I mean, the evening just scintillated with all kinds of talent, whether it was singing or instrumental playing, acting parts, various things. Toward the end of the evening, a prominent member of the British stage came and stood behind the microphone they had there, and he began, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And in stentorian tone, with a thrilling intonation and perfect enunciation, he recited Psalm 23. And when he finished, everyone was on their feet and applauded. And immediately somebody came and gave him the money gift. The crowd was breaking up and someone in the very back said, wait a minute. Somebody else is back here. And you know, we made this agreement. Everybody had to do something. And they turned and looked and they saw this elderly gentleman stand. And he said, No, thank you. Actually, I'm a guest of the host. The host invited me. I'm not part of your group. And they said, no way. We had an agreement. You've got to do something. So he sauntered up to the front, stood behind the microphone, and he began, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And he tenderly, intimately took them through the shepherd's care. And as he reached the end with his face all aglow, radiating, he exclaimed, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And there was silence. No one moved. And then the prominent member of the British stage came with that money prize. And he put it in the man's hand and he said, "Sir, I may know the psalm, but you know the shepherd." That's my question to you this morning. You probably know the psalm. It's so very familiar. But my real question is, do you know the shepherd? Is he your personal shepherd who walks with you, that you commune with him, that you adore, you worship, that he goes with you? He gives you comfort. He gives you rest. He gives you guidance. He gives you courage. He gives you nourishment. So much that you can say, "I shall not want." Would you stand with me?